Word this morning.
Good morning, everyone. We are really excited about going to Thailand. I don't know what happened to me. I just was going the first time because Empower was doing the mission over there, and something about it just grabbed my heart. So I'm really looking forward to going. And we're so thankful for your prayers. Do remember to pray for us. It's a very long flight out there, and that's a bit of a challenge. But thank you for praying. This morning, I'm going to be talking about how we can grow in our understanding of who God is, and especially of the power that is available to us through the Holy Spirit. And so let's just pray and open our hearts to God for what he wants to say to us. Father, we just thank you. We thank you so much because you are the awesome God. There are times where we don't fully appreciate who you are. And Lord, I just pray that this morning you just open our hearts, Lord, to see all that you have for us through the work of Jesus and the power of the Spirit. And I just pray your blessing on this word this morning. Lord, may it go like an arrow into all of our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, a few weeks ago, I was just praying in the Spirit in my room, and I found that I started to weep and cry. The battery's going, is it? Okay. Right. So I found that I began to weep and cry. That I didn't have a big enough picture of who he was. And that my prayers that I was offering at that time were almost an insult to his greatness and his goodness. And it took me by surprise, but it really has made an impact on me. Because we sing all these songs like there's no one like our God, and you know, we're Christians and we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And yet, there can be times where we don't get the bigness of God. And that morning, I felt like God was saying to me, you know, ask for more. Ask for more. Ask to see my power. Ask to see my glory. Open your heart, Wendy. Ask for more. Don't be content with just staying how you are. And so God was showing me that my thinking has been limited for quite a long time. I've been working with Empower, which is CGI's ministry training college, for some years. And each year we usually have Lynn Swart to come. And she gets us to do this exercise where you draw around your own hand and then you put your name on the back. And then you stick all the hands on the floor and people go round and write on each of the hands words that they feel God has for you. And you might write on your own one, not realizing it's yours. And Lynn always says, take extra special note of what you've written on your own hand. And there's mine that I did in 2011. And where I've put a circle round is what I wrote. And it says, think big, think bigger. And I feel like I must be a kind of quite slow learner, really, because that's 2011 and God's still showing me. I've got to get my thinking bigger to accommodate the size and the awesomeness and the majesty and the power of God. He wants us to think bigger. And I know stuff happens in our own lives, and if we're not careful, we determine our picture of God by things that have happened rather than by what this word says. And so some years ago, I know some of you know, our son had cancer. And we prayed and prayed and we thought we were believing God. And in the end, nothing miraculous happened. And he had two operations and a whole load of chemo. And I know that's still affecting him today. But, you know, I had to sort out my emotions about that. But coming back to the nitty-gritty of things, I cannot afford to allow my experience to determine what I believe about God. We have to stand on what this word says. And this word says that God is a healer. It says a lot else about God, but we cannot let what's happened in the past determine what we're going to believe in the future. And so what I want to bring to you today is how I see the scriptures. And I just want to first of all paint for you a picture of our God. And I'm just focusing in on some really well-known things. You know, like we teach the children at Sunday school, stuff like that, that we can get over familiar with, you know? And it stops having an impact on us because we've heard these stories and we don't stop and think, what is it like to be there when that happened? So first of all, before I go there, I want you to know that we can, it doesn't matter where you're at today, doesn't matter where I'm at, but when we come to look at the scripture, we know we can be transformed. We can be transformed by what we hear in the scripture. This book is so powerful. We don't even realize sometimes how powerful it is. But Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And the word for transformed there is metamorpho. It's the Greek. And if you listen, it sounds like metamorphosis. That's because our word metamorphosis comes from that Greek word. And it's about a complete transformation. It's about what happens when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. It metamorphoses. And it's about what happens when a tadpole makes that transition into a frog. And the final result is so far different from the thing it started with that you can hardly recognize the difference. And another thing God showed me about this amazing word is that when a caterpillar is just a caterpillar, it can only move in one dimension. It can only move on the land. But when it becomes metamorphosed into a butterfly, it can operate in two spheres. And the same with a tadpole. A tadpole can only stay alive if it's in water. But a frog can come out of water. And, you know, we can operate either humanly, looking at things, everyday type of things, or we can start to operate by the power of the Spirit in a spiritual dimension, which will impact what happens. This word is the same word that was used when Jesus went up the mountain and was transfigured. He shone that bright, they were all in awe. What's happened to Jesus? They actually felt scared. Such a transformation. And this word is also used in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. "And all of us with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured, metamorphosed into his very own image." Imagine if we all looked like Jesus, sounded like Jesus, and acted like Jesus. "In ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." So whatever state of glory you're in, as you hear the word, you can be stepped up to another stage of glory where you can act and sound even more like Jesus than you do at the moment. I find this is encouraging. This isn't meant to be like, oh, you're not doing very well. This is like, come on, listen to the word. Let it transform you. Let it transform all of us so that when we go out of this place, we know we have the power of the Holy Spirit with us and that we can make a difference. On our mission statement on the wall of this building includes this. We see a church full of faith where salvation, healing and miracles abound. Well, we're not quite in the abounding stage yet. When a miracle happens, we're excited. When a healing happens, we're excited. But it's not yet on the scale that we're hoping to see. And this morning, as we look at some of these scriptures that I'm bringing before you, I want you to know we can get to that place. We can get to that place where that wall will have to have strings and strings all over it because of the testimonies of the healings and the miracles that God wants to do in our place. So let's look at God. Let's think about him. What is the first thing we find out about God in the Bible? We find out that he created this world, this universe, the stars, everything in it, in beautiful balance. It doesn't matter how you feel about exactly how he did it, but he did it. You have only got to look at a fingerprint. Every single one of you has a different fingerprint. How did he sort that out? Look at your eye, look at the detail, and then look at the highest mountain. And as we go flying tomorrow, we'll be looking down on the world and we'll see the awesomeness of the world as it is below us. God made it. He was not short of power. He had everything at his disposal. He spoke and light came. He is an awesome God. He is amazing. He is truly amazing. Then some of the things that he's done in the Old Testament. He made a whole nation out of a really, really old childless couple. They had not had a child in all their years of marriage. And at the age of 90, Sarah gave birth to a son just as God had promised when it looked totally impossible. And then he took that whole nation out of the land of Egypt with enormous signs and wonders. 10 plagues came on that place. He took them out through the Red Sea, the Yamsuf, the Sea of Reeds, however you want to call it. And he took 2.5 million people, 2.5 million Israelites across that sea safely and then drowned the Egyptians in the same sea that they just walked through. He is an awesome God. He kept that nation alive. He kept them alive in the wilderness 40 years, feeding them with manna from heaven. Water gushes out of a rock and they're fed. They're watered. Every need they had, their clothes didn't wear out. God protected them against their enemies. Moses holds up his hands and they're winning the war, even though they're outnumbered completely and inexperienced. God, we just thank you that you are so awesome. He takes them into the land of Canaan, again with more miracles. The walls of Jericho fall down as the people shout at God's command. A shepherd boy, a small shepherd's boy with a sling, knocks out a giant fully clad with armor, lays him flat and takes the land and becomes a king. He sent his prophets like Elijah. And you remember the story, that amazing contest on Mount Carmel when Elijah says, choose who you're going to serve. You're going to carry on serving Baal or you're going to serve Yahweh, the Lord, who's the true God. And he says, well, we'll have a showdown. Get your altar ready. And they got their altar ready and they danced around it and nothing happened for hours and hours and hours. And eventually they said, come on, Elijah, do your stuff. He puts the thing on the sacrifice on the altar. He soaks it in water. God sends such fire, it burns up not just the offering on the altar, but the altar itself. And everyone goes, Yahweh, here's the Lord. Here's the Lord. God did miracles of healing, even for people who weren't Jews and therefore didn't have a covenant with him. He healed Naaman, the Syrian, the commander of the Syrian commander of leprosy, and he brought back to life a widow's son who was not a Jewish person. God did not give up on his people, even though they turned their back on him. He went with them into the land of Assyria, Babylon, and even in that place, when it became the Persian Empire, he protected Daniel when he was thrown into a den of lions. He walked in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They came out not even smelling of smoke, everything intact. It is awesome what God has done. And finally, he brought his people back into the land just as he said he would. So miracles are just who God is. He is a miracle-working God. And when he sent Jesus to show us just what he was like, Jesus did miracles all the time. All the time. Every day, miracles were happening. Every single person who came to Jesus for healing was healed. No exceptions. God doesn't have favorites. Every person was healed. He forgave people. He restored them. He renewed their lives. He fed 5,000 people with one boy's packed lunch and took 12 baskets of leftovers. Come on. We are just getting too used to these stories. He was awesome. Everywhere he went, stuff happened. And then he decided to send his followers out. And he said, you can do this too. They were like, whoa. He sent them out and he said to them, you do exactly the same things that I've done. Preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. And they did. And they were astonished. And later on, Jesus sent out another 72. 72 guys. He said, you go and do it now. They went out. They came back and they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus says to them, and this, listen, because he's saying this to us today. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. And nothing will by any means harm you. So don't talk to me about the devil having a go at you. He is under our feet. He is under our feet. We have nothing to do with him. We don't give him room. We don't give him space. And Jesus said, before Jesus died, this is what he said. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And he will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. If you're an anyone who believes today, you're counted in. You know, I like to think that it's not about who you are. It's not about having a title. It doesn't say here, anyone who I have especially called and anointed, only apostles, only special people, only people who have got a certain gift. What does it say again? Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing and will do even more, even greater things. And then he told us why. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. What brings glory to the Father? Doing greater things than Jesus did. So we can assume that if we're not doing those things, the Father is not glorified in the way that he wants to be. Oh. Jesus also told his disciples that when they receive the Holy Spirit, they will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The word for power here is dunamis in Greek, and we get our words dynamic, dynamism, dynamo, and dynamite from this word. It's about something happening. It's about movement, something changing, actual something moving and changing and happening. In the book of Acts, we see how the apostles went around using this force of dunamis. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And what did that look like? Let's take Stephen. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Awesome. Paul was not one of the original 12, but he understood that the gospel, the full gospel, the message of good news, was one of power, not just words. Look what he says. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Not just words. Not just words. He says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but what? On God's power. And he also says the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Wow. He said, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way round to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Paul saw that to fully proclaim the gospel involved signs and wonders. And he would say that without signs and wonders, the gospel was not fully proclaimed. This is challenging, but it's good, isn't it? Because when we see what we have in God, we know where we're aiming. We know we've missed a few things. Maybe we haven't had a big enough picture of what God wants to do, but we know where he's heading. We know where we need to change. Before Jesus went back to heaven, he said to his disciples, I want you to remain or stay or wait, the word means the same thing, in the city until they were clothed with power from on high. He didn't want them to do anything without power. Don't do anything. Stay, wait. Wait for the power to come. And so they were never meant to be powerless. They were never meant to be powerless. They were meant to accurately represent Jesus wherever they went. Accurately. We should look, sound, be like Jesus. And I know I've got such a long way to go before I'm at that place where I can just so release that power of God. And so what did they do, the apostles? How did they wait? Because this gives us a bit of a clue. It said they joined together constantly in prayer. They prayed and prayed. We talk about Pentecost. Pentecost came in an atmosphere of prayer. Pentecost came when people were crying out to God, God, come, we're waiting for you. We're waiting for you, God, to come. What happened when Pentecost came? The Spirit was poured out in a huge way, and the disciples did even more things than they'd done before. They preached, Peter preaches one sermon, and 3,000 people find Jesus. 3,000 in one go. Amazing. A crippled man was healed. Straight away, persecution starts to break out. Did that put them at a loss? Did they think, why is this happening? No, they said. They had another prayer meeting. And it wasn't, Lord, hide us from the authorities. Oh, Lord, don't let us be persecuted. We're so scared. This was their prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with boldness, great boldness. Stretch out your hand, God, to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place was shaken. Oh, for prayer meetings that the place is shaken by the power of God coming upon us. Oh, Lord, send it on. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I've done a lot of reading on the subject of revivals. I'm so interested in what starts a revival. And without exception, every single revival starts with a work of the Spirit in prayer. Just Holy Spirit praying, Lord, we need more. We need you, Lord. We can't do this without you. We in ourselves, we are the ones with wise and persuasive words. They're not enough, God. We need miracles. We need signs. We need wonders. And in every case as well, you get people who are totally living in dependence on God in a way that so none of the glory goes to them. It all goes to God. I think we live in such a self-obsessed age. I've never known anything like it. You know, we're in an age where you go on holiday and people aren't enjoying the moment with their husband and wife or whoever they're with because they're doing selfies all the time. What is our obsession? It's all about me, Jesus, and who I am on Facebook. And I just think, come on. We need to get in that place where it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about wanting that power of God to break forth so that he gets the glory. One of the outcomes of signs and wonders was that people were filled with awe. Acts 2:43. Everyone was filled with awe. And when signs and miracles happen, when God comes in power, people are filled with awe of God, the awe of God. This is really where I started, where God was saying almost to me, you've got no awe of me anymore. You're just treating me like a pal. I am God. I am God. I'm reading Jeremiah at the moment, and this verse really struck home to me. Jeremiah 2:19. Consider then, and remember he's talking to Jews. God is talking to his own people, not people outside the nation who've got everything wrong. He's talking to his own people. Consider then and realize how bitter it is for you when you forsake the Lord your God and have no awe of me, declares the Lord Almighty. So this is where I'm at, really. And I ask you to join me this morning in praying that God would impress upon us all that he is so awesome. He is so big. He is so great. And he wants for his glory to be seen by everybody. So that wherever we go, we're carrying Jesus with us. And we're bringing him to people as he truly is. As he truly is, with that heart of compassion to see people out there healed, redeemed, saved, knowing Jesus. Where God is known. Imagine if people were flocking to get in here because so much was happening. God, we need you. I just pray this morning that you would join me as I'm starting to do is just to say to God, just make me more hungry for you, Lord. Make me more hungry that I want to see more. I want my thinking, my understanding broken out of. I want my thinking to get so big that I can start to actually see things happen for God in a mighty way. God, help us to think big. Help us to think bigger, to expand. It's not about us selfishly getting our own needs met. I've been reading or started to read a book by a man who is blind and he prays for other people to be healed. He hasn't had his own miracle yet. He's healing other people while he's blind. If you follow some of the stories of the great men in the past, you get people like Smith Wigglesworth, who was mighty in God, saw huge miracles. His own daughter, Alice, never got to hear. She was deaf all her life, and it broke his heart. But it didn't stop him from praying for other people to have their hearing, to have their sight. And he did amazing things. He literally did bring people back from the dead. But he didn't see it in his own family. We've got to get over ourselves. We really have. I can't go around not praying for people with cancer because my son got cancer and just healed by operations and stuff happening. We've got to just go with it. Stop thinking about ourselves and stop thinking about it's all for us in here, because it's not. It's for the people out there. God, I just want to pray. Father, by your Spirit, Lord, will you move our cold hearts, Lord? Would you take out any selfishness? Would you take out any apathy towards the things of your Spirit? Will you do a deep work in our lives, Lord, that anything where we almost want to be something amazing goes, Lord, and we want what you want for your glory, Lord. For your glory. Lord, we know that when the gospel is fully proclaimed, it will be for your glory. And the sick will be healed. And the dead will be raised. And the kingdom will be preached. And your kingdom will come with power and signs and wonders. Lord, I just thank you that you have so much more for us, Lord. So much more for us. Forgive us, Lord, for our small thinking. Forgive us, Lord, and expand us to receive all that you want for us. I just want to read some verses over you this morning. So if you just want to stay in a place of like receiving and put your hands out to God and just like you want to receive and just listen to these words and let them soak into your spirit. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purposes of his will. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. And for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So, Lord, we just receive that word. We thank you, Lord, that you have invested everything in us. Lord, that you want us to go out and be like you, exactly like you, Lord. And we just pray today that you will change our hearts, you'll fill us afresh, Lord. You'll give us revelation and you'll take us to places, Lord, where we have the opportunity to show people what you are like. Thank you, Lord, for all your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us absolutely everything. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.